your living word. Thank you that you speak through it, that you've revealed yourself and your ways and your expectations through your word. Thank you that your word has existed throughout the ages, that your word is eternal. Lord, you tell us that in the beginning was the word. Lord, we thank you that you have communicated to us and you've revealed yourself. Thank you that we have the final form of your word, the written word. Thank you that it's living, that it's active, that you speak through it. And Lord, thank you for the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, please get me out of the way and let us hear your word. Let us hear from you, your message, Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. The other night, I was approaching John Allen's room, and I was coming through the hallway, and then you have to come into the den to then get to John Allen's room, and so I was coming through that hallway, and there's a door between the hallway and the den, and that door was shut, and I opened that door to walk in to get to John Allen's room, and that room was pitch black. I couldn't see anything in there. And to my surprise, just as I stepped in, I felt something weird under my feet, something, my foot kind of rolled a little bit, and it felt very strange, and I heard a little, and I had stepped on Jenny, our dog, who had been laying, I guess, right by that door, and I stepped on her foot and felt bad and tried to comfort her after she ran off and all of that. But that's what happens in the darkness. You know, I could have used some light. Light could have made everything different. Light would have made all the difference. Light would have allowed me to come in and see all the things in the room and to see Jenny there and to talk to her and pet her and walk around her and not hurt her. And it would have been more comfortable because it's not too comfortable walking into a dark room that you don't know if somebody has put something on the floor somewhere. A lot of times in those situations, the first thing you look for is the light on the wall. Light would have made all the difference. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus offers it all right there. He says nobody has to walk in darkness in this world. In this world that I've created you in and I've placed you in, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can have complete light where you can see how to get around and you can see all the glories of God. And Jesus said that. We see it in many places in the Scripture. Let's turn together to John chapter 1. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. Just open to the New Testament. That's that last third of the Bible. And then you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at John chapter 1. Let's look at John 1. Let's look at these first 9 verses. And notice in here as we read these verses together, as we hear God's word together, notice that light is coming. Light is coming. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. light is coming. That's what we celebrate. That's what we're celebrating through Advent. That's why we light a candle 4 weeks out from Christmas on the first Sunday of Advent. We bring light. Light is coming. That's why we lit the second candle. That's why next Sunday, Lord willing, if we're all here and we're together and he hasn't come back, that's why we'll light the third one. And then the next Sunday, that's why we'll light the fourth one. Light is coming. And then Christmas Eve, we'll light that center candle, the Christ candle, the light of the world. And we'll celebrate how light came, his first advent. But all the while, we need to be remembering that he's coming back. At any moment, he could be coming back. He said, keep watch. He's coming. He's coming. Light is coming. Well, first of all, let's notice, who is it? Light is coming. Who is it? Who is it that's coming? That's what we see in these first four verses. Notice that it said, in the beginning was the Word. Now follow this. Listen close. In the beginning was the Word. There's a capital W indicating deity. In the beginning was the Word. And then notice, as we read on, you may have noticed, through this Word, all things were made in verse 3. And then notice verse 4. In Him, who? This Word, capital W. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. So this Word, in this Word was life. And that life was the light of men. Well, if you skip on down to verse 14, we find out who is this Word? What's it talking about here? If you read all the way through, you get to verse 14 and it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is Jesus. The Word that we just read about in verse 1, that's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And what did it say in verse 4? It said that in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And then we notice in verse 9 that it says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And it's speaking of Jesus. So it says here that Jesus, that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. And then it calls him, Jesus Christ, the true light. And then it says, the true light that gives light to her was coming. So the light is a person. It's Jesus. That's why he said, I am the light of the world. He's the bright morning star. He is the light. And so the light is a person. So light is coming. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now notice who he is. You know, there are a lot of Jesuses out there. You can go to many different religions and teachings, and you'll find a lot of different Jesuses. You need to ask people. When people mention the name of Jesus, you need to find out, you know, what do you believe about Jesus? Who is he? Because you'll often find people believe in different Jesuses than the Jesus of the Bible. And so let's look at who he is. Who is this light? Who is it? Well, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, so when time began, when the clock started ticking, when God invented time, when he started time, it's hard for us to imagine. We can't comprehend these things. There was a time, that doesn't even make sense. There was a time that there was not time. Well, then it wouldn't have been a time. But anyway, we can't comprehend these things. But when time began, in the beginning was the Word. That's past tense. So whenever time began, the Word was already here. The Word was already there. So the Word is eternal. The Word has always been. There's no beginning to the Word. The Word's always existed. It's eternal. It's the best way we can understand it. And it will always be. The Word is eternal. So it's before the beginning. So this Word, and who do we already say the Word is? We already discovered that. Who is it? Jesus. So Jesus is eternal. He's always been. Sometimes people make the mistake and think Jesus began, you know, in the Virgin Mary or something. No, he's eternal. Jesus is eternal. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So he's separated from God, right? So Jesus was with God in the beginning. So he was with God. So you've got God, so you've got the Father, and you've got Jesus. They're separate, right? Yeah, that's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Jesus was with God in the beginning, or before the beginning. He's eternal. So he was eternally with God. And the Word was God. Oh, wait a minute. I thought he was with God. It's two of them. Well, no, and it also says, and he was God. He is God. So yes, he is with God. That's Jesus Christ, the Son. And there's God the Father, and there's the Holy Spirit too. But then we learn that in other places. The Spirit was over the water when he created. You see that in the... So you see the Trinity all through here. But anyway, so the Word was with God. He's separate, Jesus and the Father. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. He is God. He's fully God by himself. He is God. And he's fully man. When he came, he's fully man, he's fully God. So, this Word, Jesus, the light, is eternal. He was with God. He is God. And then notice this in verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. Well, what is it? That's everything. All things. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So, in other words, this Word is the creator of everything. Through this Word, through Jesus, everything was made. So he's creator too. So this Jesus Christ, this light, is eternal. He's with God. He is God. He's the creator. And then it says, in him was life, verse 4. And so in him, in the creator, eternal Jesus, God, in the, well, he's not in the flesh yet, just God. he's all these things. That's who he is. And in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And then a little bit later, it calls him the true light. So this is who we're talking about. Light is coming. Well, who is the light? It's Jesus Christ, who's eternal. He's with God. He is God. He's a creator. Everything. Well, it's important to know that. And as you read the rest of Scripture, you find out who God is. You find out that God is one. When you take the whole of Scripture, what does the Scripture say? How has God revealed himself in the Scripture? The God of this Bible is one. God is one. He exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The whole Bible teaches that. And each person is fully God by themselves. God the Father, he's fully God. Jesus Christ is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. That's who the God of the Bible is. And we just call it Trinity. The word Trinity is not in there. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that real quick. That's just what we call it. But that's our word to try to describe. That's the God of the Bible. That's who it is. And it's Jesus Christ. He is God. So, Jesus is the light. He is God. It's very important to know who he is. Why? Well, just take a simple earthly illustration. Just think about it for a minute. Let's say that I've got cancer. And let's say that I'm dying with this cancer. But maybe it's treatable. And let's say that there's an oncologist, there's a cancer doctor named Dr. Roberts. And he's the best. He's the best. Well, I could go to Dr. Roberts for healing, for treatment. I could go to Dr. Roberts. But let's say there's also, every Tuesday and Thursday, the sanitation department comes by my house. And let's say there's a guy and his nickname, everybody on the truck calls him Doc Roberts. Well, there's a big difference there. Yeah, they have the same name, Dr. Roberts. But I want to go to the oncologist, Dr. Roberts, Doc Roberts. I want to go to the oncologist, the guy that knows it all, for my healing. But you see, I could make the mistake and I could just walk outside when the trash guys come by and say, Doc Roberts, I have cancer. I've heard your name. I know what you do. No, you got a completely different person. Jesus Christ, when you hear that name, that's who I just described. That's who God's Word describes. That's the one who can save you. That's the light of the world. Anybody can throw around the name Jesus, but that's the right one. That's who you have to go to, the Jesus of the Bible. I talked to a high school teacher just recently, and And he thought that, you know, whatever you're brought up in, that's your faith. You know, if you're Muslim, if you're in another country and you're brought up there, that's your faith. And that's fine. You know, that's your God. And then if you're brought up this way, that's your faith. It's what you're brought up in. And that's it. There's no problem. But according to God's, and I shared this passage with him, and it really hit him. This right here, he started thinking about that before the beginning of time. And it was just obvious. This really was making him think. This is really making him think. Because we've got to go to the right Jesus, the Jesus who is God. You can't go to the Jehovah's Witnesses Jesus. You can't go to their God. You can't go to the Mormon God. You can't go, now hear me right here, you can't go to the Jewish God. Jews today who reject their Messiah, Jews who don't believe in Jesus, you can't go to that God. That's not the God of the Bible. You can't go to a universal God, people that teach, you know, oh anyway is fine. You can't go to the Muslim God. It's not all universal. There's the God of the Bible, and then there's all these other gods, and he's jealous, and he says he's the only one, there is no other. And get away from anything else. So, who is it? This light. Light is coming. That's who he is. What does it do? What does the light do? Notice verse 5. It says, the darkness, it says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Some translations say the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Same thing. The light conquers the dark. The light overcomes the dark. The light is stronger than the dark. It overcomes the darkness. The darkness does not understand it. The darkness cannot overcome it. We know this. When you walk in a pitch black room, and you, if you were to walk into a pitch black room, and all of a sudden you turned on a flashlight like that, what happens? You see light. The light wins. It doesn't. The room does not stay pitch black once you put some light in there. The light wins. The light overcomes the darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, overcomes the darkness. He overcomes spiritual darkness. Not anybody here, no one here has to go on from this life and pass away one day and spend eternity in spiritual, in darkness. As Jesus called it, as Jesus referred to hell, and he talked about the place where the worm doesn't die, and in the utter darkness, and nobody has to be there. Nobody has to stay in spiritual darkness because light has come. Jesus is here. Nobody who is a believer has to live in darkness. I have come that they may have, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Once you are a believer, you are in the light. You have the light. The light has overcome that darkness. You will not spend eternity in darkness. You have the light. But then as a believer, you can still have dark habits and dark ways and things that don't belong in you who have the light. I love this devotional. I just wanted to share this with you. I read this earlier. Think about the light. It appears at the voice of our Creator. If you listen to his voice, you will sense his light. He sees, even today, that the light is good. And more than anything else, he desires to walk with you in his light. Will you prepare your heart for Christmas this year by celebrating Advent in a personal way? Listen to this. Will you make the effort, painful as it may be, to separate dark habits from the light that has been given to you? Confess the dark secrets. Give up dark habits. Crucify dark desires. And let the light of Christ come shining into the emptiness that has been created. Isn't that what every one of us needs to do? Get all that darkness out of us. Go before the Lord. Repent. Change our ways. Go before the Lord. Get all the darkness out of us. And then the emptiness that remains once that darkness is out, let it be filled with the light of Christ. Be filled with his light. What does it do? Light overcomes darkness. Well, how do we know? How do we know? That's our next point. Not only light is coming, who is it? We've seen who it is. What does it do? It overcomes darkness. Anything. How do we know? How do we know that? Well, God sent a witness to the light. That's what we see in verses 6 through 8. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. And it goes on from there in verse 8. How do we know about this light, that Jesus is the light, that he is the truth? God has sent his witnesses. He sent John the Baptist right here at this time. God sent the prophet. The prophet wrote and prophesied God's word. The prophet wrote that John the Baptist would become, there would be one in the desert crying out, prepare the way for the Lord. So even back then, God gave witness to this one, this light that would be coming through the prophets, the mouths of the prophets. We've got all these prophets in the Bible that say the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Light is coming. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Isaiah, God's prophet. He's our witness. God has given us his witness through his word. How do we know? Because God has told us by his word. He's told us, he's spoken. There was a time in the past where God spoke through the prophets. And if you wanted to hear the voice of God, you go to the prophet. You find Isaiah or Jeremiah or whoever. And whatever they say, when they say, thus saith the Lord, you hear from God. You hear directly from God. God's word was in the mouths of the prophets. And then there came a time when the word became flesh. And then if you wanted to hear from God, you just go find Jesus. That was God walking among us. And if you want to ask God something, you find him and you say, hey, what do you think about this? And you hear from God and you find out, here's what God thinks about. Here's what God looks like when he walks on the earth. And now we have the final form of God's word, his written word. Nobody can ever add to this. Nobody can ever take away from it. It's perfect. It's flawless. Man did not write by his own interpretation, but men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. This is all his. It's perfect. And it's done. We have the final form of God's word right here. This is a witness to us. How do we know that we have the truth? How do we know the light? God has given us these witnesses. He's given us the witness of his word. What does his word tell us? Many of you know the verse, thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet. God gives us his light, his word, the word made flesh. The word is our light. His word, his written word, is a lamp unto my feet. And now, even today, you can go to any believer if you want to hear, how can you know that Jesus is the light that has come? How can you? You can go to, you can find any believer today and talk to him. Just start talking to him for a while. You know, hey, share what happened to me. What has Jesus done for you? How have you seen him work in your life? And we're his witnesses today. He uses us today. That's how we know. Just like he used John the Baptist then. How do we know? Well, finally, the true light that gives light to everyone has come. That's what we see in verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And he has come. This is Jesus. Go to him. Have you gone to him? This true light. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you've come. Light is coming. We thank you that you have come. Oh light of the world. We thank you for who you are, Lord, and that you clearly reveal yourself in your word. Lord, help us to always help others to see the true Jesus. May we not be deceived by false Jesuses and false gods. May we help others who are deceived by false Jesuses and false gods. Thank you for letting us know who you are. Lord, we pray that you would, we thank you that you conquer darkness, Lord. You conquer our spiritual darkness, Lord, that if there's anyone in darkness right now, they can simply say, Jesus, I thank you that you're the light. Lord, save me from my darkness. I confess my sins to you. And I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you're the light of the world. I believe you're my Savior. and I ask you to save me. Come into my life. I give my life to you. And Lord, we thank you that you do that, that you conquer darkness. And for anybody who truly repents and puts their faith in you, that the darkness is gone, that they will live eternally in the light with you. Lord, all of us believers, Lord, would you overcome? You're the one that overcomes all the darkness in our lives. So, Lord, any dark habits or anything else that you've brought to mind, Lord, may we confess those things and may we be filled with your light and repent and turn from those things. If we need to pray at the altar, Lord, help us to come and just pray about those things. Lord, we thank you that we know the truth because you have given us witness, Lord, over and over again. Thank you for your word that by hearing we have faith and we know. Lord, we thank you that you're the true light that gives light to everyone and that you have come, Lord. Let us stay in your light. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you need to come into his light right now, if you need to give your life to Jesus and come out of that darkness and into his kingdom of light, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And now's your time. Step out of your seat. Put your feet to it. Put action to what's going on in your heart, what God's telling you to do. Step out of your seat and come and say, I'm coming into the light. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I trust him to save me from my sins. I'm grabbing Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. Do that if he's calling you to do that when Chris leads us. Maybe you need to pray and ask the Lord to clear out some darkness or something and fill that space with his light. You can come to the altar. You can pray about that. Or you can pray at your seat. Maybe you're joining this church today. Maybe God's told you that this is the place he wants you to be. And you need to come into this fellowship. You can do that when Chris leads us. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it when Chris